This is where the region comes to talk. It's news and views
on the mighty 790 KMGO Fargo Moorhead.
Getting it said for your town.
KNDK 1080 Langdon. Supertalk 1270 Bismarck Mandan. Keys 660 Williston.
The legendary tradition of talk in the upper Midwest. It's talk that matters. Here's Joel Heitkamp.
It's Friday.
Let's go. Let's get them going. It's Friday. Get your Christmas lights up. Get your tree. Do you know one person that has a real tree anymore?
I do. Have a real tree. Both Heidi and I have real trees.
No, let me put it this way. Christian does and Darwin does. Because neither one of you two had a thing to do with the real tree.
Yes, I did.
That is not true.
Heidi, where did you get your real tree, Heidi Heitkamp?
We got a real tree at Lowe's.
When you say we, were you there to pick it up?
Yes, I was.
Okay, I bought mine from a really nice guy named Bo. He was a really interesting guy. He went to school to be an electrician, then he went into law enforcement, and then he went into theology. He was a very interesting guy.
Didn't our news team do a piece on a guy named Bo going in people's backyards and cutting down their trees?
No, they did not.
Okay, maybe it was a different Bo. I'm just checking with that.
Heidi, how you been there, Senator? Just trying to make a living.
Trying to make a living, what the heck?
You're slandering him on radio?
I don't even know Bo.
Well, isn't that the point?
So nice.
Isn't that the point? You don't even know Bo?
When are you going back to D.C. to get a farm bill passed?
On Monday.
Will it be ready?
I think that the farm bill is pretty close. I'm very optimistic.
Is it milk that's going to drive this?
I think it's that there is this looming, and Vilsack has been putting the subtle pressure on saying, it'll be the law. I'm going to have to do this. I have to dump milk. Going to have to buy milk. Milk's going up to $7 a gallon. And, you know, and that's, you know, I think there's going to be one of two things. We're either going to see a longer-term extension or we're going to see a farm bill, and I think we're going to see a farm bill.
Is Debbie Stabenow, a colleague of yours who came out and campaigned for you and chairman of the Senate Ag Committee, ever going to go for a longer-term extension?
I think you got to be careful saying never.
She already said never right here on the air.
I know, but you got to.
I'm going to play that sound again.
Yeah, well, good for you. I'm not Debbie Stabenow, but the one thing about it is that there is over $20 billion of savings, which they desperately need to get a budget. And what I hope is driving this is that there are ongoing and actually optimism about getting a budget passed for fiscal year 14. Now, you might wonder, since we are in fiscal year 14, how we can cheer something that's
fiscal
already
year September 1, isn't it?
It's October 1. But, you might wonder how we can cheer about that. But I think that if we can get it just baby steps, get to regular order, get appropriations, so we aren't funding government according to continuing resolutions, that's a very positive step.
Okay, so here you sit at this impasse. What are the things that are blocking it? What are the differences between the Senate and the House that is blocking the passage of the Farm Bill today?
Farm Bill, it's the difference in the commodity title, and the difference there is whether we're going to use planted acres or base acres. Lots of people concerned about base acres for a couple reasons. Number one, we don't want people planting to the farm program. We want them planting to the market. So, farmers anticipating the market decide what they're going to plant, as opposed to here's what the Farm Bill will pay me. That's what I'm going to plant. And so we because it's market distorting, and it also has the possibility of having a WTO challenge. So that's the hang up. And obviously the second hang up is what we're going to do with nutrition. And I think we're also hung up on the energy title because we want it funded and the House didn't fund anything in the energy title.
In the conservation side, Congressman Kramer said that he doesn't like the conservation measures in the Senate version.
I don't either.
Okay, so what is wrong about it?
Well, we have conservation tied to Title I programs. Now they're trying to title the conservation compliance to crop insurance. And it was the one place where guys could go to get some kind of risk mitigation without worrying about, somebody coming in and saying, well, you drained a little pothole on your home acre here, and so we're going to look back and charge you $1 million. And don't think that doesn't happen. It does happen. And so we've got a story to tell in North Dakota about what conservation compliance, especially the enforcement of conservation compliance, has meant for our farmers, and we don't want to expand that same risk to the crop insurance program. Now, you probably have talked to Senator Hoeven. He's at the table more actively than Congressman Cramer and I are. So I think he'd probably have a better idea. But I think there's going to be some modifications in the Senate version of conservation compliance for crop insurance. We'll see if we're able to get it out altogether. But understand this, and people may say, well, there they are again, the Democrats. This conservation compliance was fought most vigorously, not by Debbie Stabenow, most vigorously by Saxby Chambliss, who is a Republican from Georgia. And so, you know, this is not a partisan issue. This is a bipartisan fight between states like ours that have become the flyway for migratory birds, and everybody, all the hunters in the country want us to pay the price versus including the southern hunters versus some of the southern states that have already drained their wetlands.
There's an accident just off I-94 westbound, just west of the Red River. Four cars involved, very icy coming off the bridge, so be careful. A caller called in with that. That's, of course, in the Fargo-Moorhead area. Heidi, you're all over the News and Views radio network right now, so you're being heard, you know, in Williston at Keys 660, KNDK 1080 out of Langdon, KLXX Super Talk 1270 out of Bismarck, Mandan. So not everybody in the listening area has the same views. Here, sugar is, you know, still a big part. You know, the Crystal Sugar last night coming out saying they're cutting payments to their growers by over $410 million worth of loss. They blamed it on NAFTA, and they blamed it on poor sugar content. Your thoughts on that?
Well, I think that we need to take a look at how the sugar program is being administered by the USDA, how the quotas are being set. And the good news in this going forward is I think Mexico got the message that this isn't good for them and it's not good for our sugar producers. But we fought very hard to keep the sugar program in the Senate bill. There was a lot of pressure from those states that produce candy who see this as a big deal when it's really only 2 or 3 cents on a candy bar. And it's a guaranteed domestic supply of sugar, which we should all be concerned about. And if the sugar program is run appropriately, it shouldn't cost the taxpayers a dime. That's not true right now because of the excess supply coming in from places like Mexico.
What do you say to those people who say it may not cost the taxpayers a dime if it's run correctly, but it costs the consumer more than that when they go to buy it because all you're doing is protecting for sugar farmers?
And what I would say is, do you want a domestic supply of sugar? And it's
if
not
the world has plenty of sugar, shouldn't I be able to get it out on the world market? Isn't that what's happening to people with cars and clothes and everything else? Why is sugar any more important?
Well, I don't think it is any more important, but it's the only piece that we do for sugar in the farm program, as opposed to crop insurance for our soybean growers, as opposed to commodity title for those folks. It's the commodity title equivalent for the sugar program. And I think if we are going to have a policy in America that says we have to have food independence and food security, then we should protect all of the commodities that we grow. And one of the problems that we have right now with the Farm Bill is you see some of the northern commodities fighting with some of the southern commodities as opposed to sitting down and working through the problems. And that is a formula
for... I wear cotton.
Yeah, right. Well, I'm just saying it's a formula for disaster because long-term, you know, it's divide and conquer for people, and it's people on the far right and the far left who don't like the
farm. We wouldn't be talking about a farm program right now if Kevin Cramer and his cronies in the House Ag or on the House floor hadn't tubed Chairman Lucas, his own chairman, and cut a nutrition program out of this. This would be done. We wouldn't be talking about this. This would have been passed.
Well, I mean, I think there's a lot of people who believe that, and I probably
do. You?
I do. I think that had they passed the original bill that came out of the House committee in its form, I think we could have gotten that bill conferenced even timely, even maybe before the end of the last fiscal year, and actually had a long-term farm bill. And it just set so many broad parameters, and it really set a table for difficulty for the conference.
By the way, I agree with you on the sugar program. I just had to ask the question the way many people do. Let me ask you this. Are you still a supporter of President Obama when it comes to the Affordable Care Act?
I've never supported the Affordable Care Act in its present form. And people groan out there, but it's absolutely true. I say there's good and there's bad in the Affordable Care Act. Now, I happen to be a believer that the exchanges are that marketplace is a place that can work. it's too bad they rolled it out so poorly. But having a place where people can go and compare and learn about their insurance and actually navigate that system can work. And it can work for people who had pre-existing conditions who right now don't have to answer one question about their medical condition except whether they smoke on whether they could get health insurance. And that is a big step forward for a lot of families. Now, the promise that you could keep your health insurance if you liked it was never something that it should have been said. Because, number one, even if you didn't have the Affordable Care
Act. Why did he say it then?
Well, I don't know why he said it. I don't know why he does a lot of things that he does. But, you know, the point that I'm making is that we need to take a look, not just at the Affordable Care Act, but at healthcare costs long term. Our problem right now, when you look at the forward trajectory for the debt and deficit in this country, it is related in great amounts to health care and the increased and rising cost of health care, which we pay for in Medicaid, which we pay in Medicare.
A lot of people spilled blood. A lot of people you call friends spilled blood to pass the Affordable Care Act. He had a lot of time to get this rollout right. Lot of time to get it right. Not one person has been fired because of how poorly this rollout went.
Yeah, I don't Not disagree one. With you, Joe.
Well, why in the world is Kathleen Sebelia still in a job if she couldn't get the rollout right?
Because the president said the responsibility is on me and not on her. And you can't fire the president, I guess.
Then does he deserve to be at, you know, low 30s in the popularity polls?
Well, I think he's definitely earned it because one of the things that has always resulted in the president enjoying, you know, at least during tough economic times, some amount of favorabilities has been trustworthiness. And I think he's lost some of that. Now, the news today that unemployment's around 7% and dropping, I think that's going to be favorable news. And, you know, we live to talk another day, Joel.
All right. Well, when we come back, your time for phone calls, 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. I want to get to as many of these calls as I can. One caller called in on the break saying, Joel, get off the website. You know what? It's working. Quit looking in the rearview mirror and let's move forward and see how the Affordable Care Act goes. All right, so I got my butt chewed. I can handle that. I want to get to this. I want to get to the phone lines in the order they came. Scott, you are on with U.S. Senator Heidi Heitkamp. Go ahead. Go ahead, Scott. All right, I'm going to move on. 237-5948, 1-800-880-5346. Bob, you're on with Senator Heitkamp.
I just want to make one comment about crop insurance. As a taxpayer, I don't care to be paying a premium for a bunch of millionaires, and some aren't, but many are, in order for them to get their crop insurance at a reduced rate and raise these land prices from $4,000 to $7,000 an acre in South Dakota, and in some places in Iowa, over $20,000 an acre. And when they start paying my insurance, I guess I would feel like paying theirs. But
all right. Heidi, your thoughts on that?
Well, I think it all comes down to whether we think we should have a program in this country that guarantees food security. And the crop insurance program has proven to be one of the most efficient ways to provide that risk mitigation that makes sure that people put seed in the ground and they actually plant a crop that's going to feed America and really feed the world. And so it's a different idea about how we provide some community support for people who take those risks. And I'm a big supporter of crop insurance.
Well,
and I understand what he's saying about, and you'll hear this argument a lot about land prices and the fact that you've taken some risk out of farming, so people assume more risk by spending more money on land. I think that's a product more of high commodity prices, and we're going to see those things adjust as commodity prices come down.
They're really starting to get into farmers' lifestyles. Over the last month, I'm
with
getting
callers?
Tons. Oh God, yeah. I'm getting calls about farm 16-year-olds with pickups and snowmobiles and motor. You know what I mean? They're really getting personal with some of these farmers and how they're living their life. And the callers like Bob are upset because they feel they're subsidizing that life. And it's going to be interesting how it plays out. Please announce again the pileup on the bridge. You bet. There's a pileup on the I-94 bridge westbound. Big accident there. Mike, you're on with Senator Heitkamp. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, Senator. Good morning, big brother Joel, or the little brother?
Little. About 20 years younger.
Yeah. Just,
yeah. Yeah, right.
Senator, I've talked to Joel about the farm program, sugar and specifics, and that and Obamacare go hand in hand, in my view, because sugar specifically is not food. There is no nutritional value in that grain of sugar. It's just a sweetener. There's no vitamins, there's no minerals, there's no fiber, but we keep protecting it because we say we got to have cheap food. But cheap food also adds to poor health. You got to pour food in your stores, all this box prepared stuff. People eat it and they get sick. You need more health care.
All right, let's get to it, Heidi.
Well, food, I think they would disagree that there was no food value of sugar. I mean, obviously, sugar adds calories. Sugar is a carbohydrate. It's a basis of a lot of formula. And I think we wouldn't enjoy our food as much if it didn't have sugar in it. But he's right. We need to be concerned about the consumption in America of too much sugar. And we're looking at what we can do to encourage people not to consume as much and to change their dietary structures. But it still is important. It's an important part of the food system. It's an important part of our food independence. And I think it's a commodity that's grown in our country and in our state that's used in food processing, and we ought to support it.
Text message comes in. How about depreciation limits going down only $25,000 a year? No new equipment next year because of this.
Yeah, this is related to the 179 rules, and we're looking into this, but the 179 rules were changed as a part of the stimulus package, and some of that was modified and reversed during the 2000 and the deal that was done at the end of last year to basically keep the government open. And so we're going to look at these depreciation limits, and I understand what they're saying, but understand that a lot of people who don't like stimulus, this was part of the stimulus package that now is being rolled back along with a lot of the other stimulus pieces. But I agree.
30 seconds or less, your thoughts on Nelson Mandela.
What a great man. Really, the dignified way that he handled himself, I think, set the tone for reunification of the entire country. And, you know, the fact that
large
he was...
Part of the world.
Right. And his ideas about reconciliation are things that we need to take a long lesson from throughout the world and quit fighting the last war and start looking at how we can run our countries to improve the conditions for all the people.
Two mentors of yours, Senator Kent Conrad and Senator Byron Dorgan, both who have met Nelson Mandela, will be joining us when we come back here on News and Views. Heidi, when you come back on the Christmas break, yep. Stop in and take some calls, okay?
Yep, sure will.
All right.